Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's May the 24th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, Japanese officials say they'll hold discussions about opening up their borders to U.S. beef imports, but Washington has to say please first. And a group of developing nations has said it's going to up the WTO ante, at least for the United States. They'd like this nation to double its current offer to cut farm subsidies. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And I'll remind you to keep the place clear of standing water and how to protect yourself against West Nile virus. That pesky little mosquito can carry the disease. Oh, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast right here on this Thursday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, willag.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to willag.org and put the AM 580 agricultural podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat at $4.91 settled 14 and a half cents higher. September futures at 503 and three quarters up 14 as well. In December contract at 514 and a half up 12 and a quarter for the day. July corn futures 376 and a half up 8. September's up 5 and a quarter at 376 and three quarters. And December contract in the corn pit, $3.72 and three quarters, up 2 and a quarter. July soybeans, 805 and a quarter, 4 and three quarters higher. August up 4 and a quarter at 812 and a half. And November beans at 834 and a quarter, up 3 and three quarters. July bean meal futures down $1.70 at $217.20 a ton. July bean oil at $35.58. That's up 0.69 for the day. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby May feeder cattle at 108.7 and a half, and they were up 25 cents, or rather down 25 cents. Live cattle were off 75 cents at $91.10, and the August contract at 91.22 and a half in the live cattle pit, down $1.02 and a half for the day. June lean hogs at 74.95. They finished 32 and a half cents higher for the day. Crude oil futures nearby July contract 64.25, down $1.52. July, or rather August, crude oil at $65.65 a barrel. They're down $1.37 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,464 is now just about 61 points lower for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange on this Thursday afternoon is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Tell me about the jump we've had in the wheat pit for the day.
Well, wheat got strength, I think, from both sides of the equation, which makes it a pretty good market. Both the technical side is improving, looking like a seasonal low is in place, and we're on the verge of maybe going into a counter-seasonal move higher in the harvest. Now, on the fundamental front, basically, it's being driven by shrinking world inventory supplies. The trade is continuing to talk about a smaller Russian crop, a smaller Ukraine crop, a smaller China crop, a smaller French crop, smaller Australian crop. And then we still have, even though our crop rating levels look pretty good here, we still have some current concerns and worries about what actual yield may or may not be here in the U.S. So you've got fundamentally shrinking supplies, as all pretty well stems back from USDA's most recent world supply-demand balance sheet that showed wheat stocks tightening again this year. And improving technical picture, and that's what kind of fueled the wheat market here sharply higher today.
And the corn market?
Corn market still sideways, struggling. You did get July corn to go up a little bit here. It's up 8, but the rest here, I think, basically are 1 to 2 higher. So I think what you're seeing there is old crop cash inventories may be hard to find in some areas of the Corn Belt, especially areas where you have some ethanol production that uses a lot of ethanol every day. So your July corn is kind of leading the pack. I think that it's actually positive for maybe some kind of recovery rally in here, but it kind of looks like it may be mostly on the old crop months. New crop months are struggling. Weather forecasts or the noon maps kind of indicated that we may have a little better rainfall activity than what the market was looking at here this morning when we were a little higher across the board. So it's pretty much of a weather situation in corn. If we get some pretty good rains, corn's probably going to continue to drift downward next week. If you don't get the rains, well, then that'll, start popping it up, and it may begin to maybe look like a bottom, and the corn may want to start following the wheat market higher.
Those are a couple of interesting things. Do any of them correlate with your cycle analysis?
Cyclicals, are tricky to read at times, and we might be in one of those tricky patterns here where we're maybe halfway through a cyclical phase. A lot of times the market can kind of invert on you when you expect to see a high, it'll maybe be a low, or when you expect to see a low, it could turn into being a high. The way I'm reading it at the moment, until we break some trend lines, you have to kind of say that the cyclicals are down into maybe a late June low. We might just drift down all the way through June. June be a tough month on corn. And then we see what the USDA's numbers are on the 29th of June. And then, of course, early July weather is real important.
So generally speaking, as we look at the cash side of the market, most would say that if you're going to do some marketing, you need to do it in the spring and the early summer months. But if you get into later July and August, that's not a good time to think about when to market your corn. Is the same going to follow suit this year?
Well, you got to go with the odds. I mean, the odds are, that prices, peak early in the spring months when you have uncertainty at the greatest, and that was the case this year so far when we really didn't know how many acres were going to be planted or farmers intended to be planted. Then USDA come up with their big number there on the March 30th report. We've been basically downhill ever since. We've had a couple blips in planting problems here and there, but you usually do have something like that. So that's somewhat of a normal year. The only thing that would tell me that things would be different is that I'm a great follower, that a lot of times the market goes opposite than it did the previous year. And last year we drifted down into August, September lows, and then we turned up and, we basically rallied through the fall months and right on in here into early winter for an early winter high, and now we've turned down. So that would almost tell me that we might be looking at some kind of June low here, and then we could turn up for the months of July and August and maybe early September, have a high during July and August, and then we start drifting down as we go through the harvest. So I always keep the reverse in mind, what happened to the previous year, and you kind of got to make a judgment call on that each week as you as more data becomes available and how the crop progresses. But some of my cyclical work would indicate that July and August could be up this year, more so than down.
And take a look at the soybeans, and that chart looks pretty good anymore.
Yeah, it does. It we're at some resistance points here. As anytime you're at an even number on a commodity, in this case $8, the market is terribly overbought. It's been driven by, you know, what's been kept in corn on the defensive is smaller acres. It's been driven by the need to attract South American acres in an unfriendly economic environment with their currency valuation versus the dollar. It's going to make their crop input costs very costly. So beans, and then beans is looking ahead toward, if you have this continued expansion in ethanol, that we could maybe lose some more U.S. acres next year in soybeans to corn. So soybeans are trying to stay in the economic picture, stay on the radar screen, especially when you've got good, strong world demand, just like our weekly export sales here, combined total. It was expected to be big because China purchases, but, you know, we sold 80 million bushels of soybeans last week, which I can't remember too many of those in my lifetime. I'm sure there's maybe one or two that's happened, but those are awful strong numbers for weekly export sales and beans.
You take a look at the numbers for the harvest month, and pretty darn close to that contract high up, what, at 843, and we've settled at 830, what, 8 today? No, not quite that high.
Yeah, your front end has made new highs, so usually that's, you know, if you can keep the momentum going, then that would maybe pull the November right on up above its February highs. You know, that's... Yeah, I mean, there's nothing. The only thing that you have to worry about is, in the beans is it is terribly overbought. And
well, is this a reason that producers might want to make cash sales or not?
Well, I think you have to make cash sales here and there all the time. I mean, this market is gives you some pretty good rally potentials, and then something comes along and takes those opportunities away. So I think, you know, anytime you are in a highly overbought condition, especially after what we've seen here in soybeans, this is probably a place to make a sale. And depending upon what the percentage is, I think you have to pick out your own poison on it. But these ain't bad prices to make a sale at.
Well, I'm not sure I like that you're picking your own poison, but we'll go with that term. I guess you're thinking, as most farmers do, that they like to hold their beans on the idea that the things will rally, but they're up near those contract highs at this point, aren't they?
Well, but, you know, we're in a little different demand environment than what we have been in the past, and not that I want to say that these have a lot of upside potential, but, I mean, we're at the point now where Mother Nature can really swing these markets about any direction it wants to. So it gets real tricky marketing, you know, over the next couple of months here.
We appreciate it much.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He says the word of the day, of course, is volatility. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons. Our own Ed Kieser says tonight across the two-state region in the north and central sections, it'll be mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers, some thunderstorms. In the south, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows this evening from 47 in the far northwestern Illinois. Parts of Illinois to 64 in the far south. Ed says tomorrow in far northern Illinois, partly to mostly sunny. In the far south, partly sunny, with a few isolated showers and thunderstorms possible. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow from 62 along the lakefront in Chicago to 84 in the far southern part of Indiana. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take a look at today's agricultural news. This is the Closing Market Report on AM 580.
In agricultural news, Japan's agriculture minister told reporters yesterday that Japan will hold discussions with the U.S. to renegotiate beef import regulations if Washington makes a request. It's the first time Japan has appeared willing to resume talks since instituting import limits on U.S. beef to cattle 20 months and younger. A U.S. request could ultimately lead to deliberations by Japan's Food Safety Commission. Those deliberations could take months. A group of developing nations has issued a formal challenge to the U.S. to limit trade-distorting agricultural subsidies to $12 billion a year. That's about half what U.S. negotiators offered during Doha round talks. The so-called Group of 20 met in Geneva this week. There was no immediate U.S. reaction to the challenge. Cuba expects to sign contracts for up to $150 million worth of U.S. agricultural goods next week during a gathering of U.S. producers in Havana. About 100 U.S. farm groups and companies are participating. Tyson Foods says U.S. corn prices are not going back to historic levels this growing season. Tyson Chief Executive Dick Bond says corn prices have found a new plateau, noting prices have exceeded $4 a bushel at times this year. Bond says higher corn prices will add about $300 million to annual costs at Tyson. Iowa agriculture officials say it's unlikely the rust-infected soybean leaf found in 2006 in an Iowa grain bin actually originated in Iowa. David Wright, director of the North Central Soybean Research Center's Plant Health Initiative, says the case was suspect from the start.
The Iowa Soybean Rust Team, comprised of Iowa State University, Iowa Department of Agriculture, Iowa soybean growers, suspected that the leaf that was delivered to the disease clinic did not come from the same source as the grain that was delivered because of the near-perfect condition of the leaf. So we suspected that there was something not being disclosed by the person who delivered it to the disease clinic. So that initiated an investigation by the Iowa Department of Agriculture into the matter.
Wright says as a result, the case will not be added to USDA's national database as an official rust find. And the National Agricultural Statistics Service has announced it will update the winter wheat forecast in June due to freezing temperatures that occurred during April. Any changes will be reflected in the June crop production report to be released June 11th. The report will include an updated yield and production forecast for winter wheat based on both producer-reported data and on actual plant and fruit counts from fields sampled as part of the objective yield survey. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. I don't think I've said it for a while, so I'll do it now. Thanks. Thanks so much for listening. Dave and I really do appreciate it. By the way, don't forget to go and visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, mosquitoes typically start biting in Illinois earlier in the month of May, but Memorial Day weekend, that's this weekend, is considered the official launch of mosquito season. I'll have more on how to start protecting yourself from an insect that could transmit West Nile virus. The northern house mosquito bites both birds and humans, says Phil Nixon. Nixon is an entomologist with the University of Illinois Extension. The mosquito bite can transmit disease, in this case, West Nile virus. The entomologist says it all starts when the mosquito bites an infected bird, most likely a sparrow.
It will bite the bird, and then the virus will reproduces inside the bird. It reproduces inside the mosquito. It will then infect us when it feeds on us or on horses, and the virus will reproduce in us, but not to the point that we are normally infective to anybody else. In other words, a mosquito that bites a person with West Nile virus typically is not going to pick up enough virus to transmit it to anything else. So we're at what's called a dead-end host.
Most people bitten by infected mosquitoes do not know they have the virus, and they can't transmit it anyway. But there are some, usually very young or those aged 50 and above, that do come down with a life-threatening condition. A bite from an infected mosquito can cause serious disease. Symptoms include muscle weakness, inflammation of the brain, sometimes called encephalitis, stiff neck, stupor, disorientation, tremors, convulsions, paralysis, coma, and even death. Nixon says there is a vaccine to prevent West Nile virus for horses, but none yet for humans. In the meantime, he suggests a few preventative measures to keep down the population, and therefore bites from the northern house mosquito.
This mosquito likes to reproduce in areas that are in very putrid water, exceedingly putrid water. Water that you can't see through, that if you got near would stink very strongly, okay? The mosquito doesn't fly very far, typically no more than half a mile in its lifetime to a mile and a half. If you get bit by a mosquito with West Nile virus, chances are you or your neighbor raised that mosquito. How do you do this? It's water that stands and is allowed to get stagnant. Most common place in most urban environments, residential areas, are going to be clogged gutters, number one.
Lesson learned, clean out your gutters. It also helps to regularly change or empty water in bird baths, dog dishes, or other yard containers. To add a few goldfish or bait minnows to your yard ponds, not koi or carp, they don't eat the mosquitoes. Apply an insect repellent that contains DEET. Repair and install screens and windows. And wear a hat, a long sleeve shirt, long pants, shoes, and socks to reduce the amount of exposed skin. Well, and finally, one easy way to prevent mosquitoes from becoming a nuisance when you're outside, says Bill Nixon, is to keep a fan blowing on your deck or patio. That's because mosquitoes are not very good at flying. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Time now to take a look at the cash grain market. Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I'll keep that fan blowing because mosquitoes don't fly very well. That's actually kind of funny, I think.
Well, I don't think you're going to be flying around out there today.
No, they don't fly generally when it's hot either. So, hey, let's talk a little bit more about these soybeans and the cash grain prices that we took up with Dan a bit earlier in the program. I stopped by the Farm Doc site just to see what the cash grain prices were doing in Central Illinois, up 7 cents the day before yesterday on the 23rd. It's $7.59. They've gained pretty well. Are farmers calling and talking about this a bit, or are they just not worried about beans?
Yeah, we've been kind of going through and talking with everybody over the last few days. Really, in our situation, we like to follow the overbought, oversold indicators, and we've kind of been in the overbought territory now for about 5-6 days. And I guess our approach is on the old crop beans that you probably should have what you have left after this rally that we're in. You probably ought to be willing to hold those into the late summer period if you need to. So, you know, you need to have your stocks down to levels that you're willing to hold for a few more months. On the new crop beans, I guess we're looking at kind of corn and beans, somewhere around 25-30% sold, 25-30% with put options, and, you know, have a good average floor locked in there, and you can adjust those percentages depending on your storage situation, that on your farm. But we think that you should be taking advantage of these price levels, but we're pretty aggressive on the puts this year because there's a lot that can happen yet, and this market can still be very explosive. So if you have the put, you have a floor, but you still are open in case a market blows the top off.
What are the bids there at Lexington today?
$3.54 for the cash corn, $7.67 for beans.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks.
Bill Maris with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Pete Levitt, and he's an agricultural meteorologist. We'll take a complete look at the global agricultural weather forecast for the day in the next couple of weeks. Right now, time for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. University of Illinois basketball player Jamar Smith pled guilty today to driving under the influence and was sentenced to 15 days in jail and 24 months probation. Smith must also perform community service and undergo treatment for substance abuse. Smith was taken into custody after Champaign County Judge Richard Klaus pronounced the sentence this afternoon. Smith pleaded guilty in connection with a February 12 incident in which he was driving the car in an accident that severely injured his teammate, Brian Cardwell. Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz says Smith's sentence is both typical and appropriate, considering both the injury he caused and the fact that he had no prior criminal history. A former U of I football player will stand trial in August for residential burglary and other charges. 21-year-old Derek McPherson is accused, along with 20-year-old co-defendant Joseph Ellis, of stealing a number of items from four apartments in early March. McPherson had been slated for trial this week, but he recently fired his attorney and hired new counsel. McPherson faces three counts of residential burglary and two counts of theft of over $300. Champaign police are seeking the public's help in yesterday's robbery of a credit union. Officers say about 11 yesterday morning, a black male entered the ICG credit union at 4 Henson Place and displayed a handgun. The man tied up two tellers and fled the scene with an undisclosed amount of money. There were no injuries. The suspect is described as about 30 years old, wearing jeans and a gray sweatshirt. The FBI has been notified of the incident. Officers say anyone with more information should contact the Champaign Police or Crime Stoppers at 373-TIPS. A state appeals court has upheld the murder conviction of a Decatur man who killed his 3-year-old niece in 1995. James Huff was convicted in 2004 of killing Sarah Kramer during a home invasion and was sentenced to 50 years in prison. And a former Republican congressional aide says he's considering a campaign to challenge first-term Indiana Congressman Brad Ellsworth. Greg Good has been attending Lincoln Day dinners and other GOP events in southwestern Indiana's 8th District in recent months. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. Time for our look at the agricultural weather forecast across the Midwest and around the globe. Peter Levitt joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's first zoom in on the weekend because, well, it is Memorial Day and we've got one extra day to enjoy ourselves.
Yes, it would be nice if the weather would cooperate. It looks like it's going to be a little iffy, especially for the northern half, maybe northern and central portions of the listening area here. We have, of course, a day we could have used on the weekend today with rather windy but hot weather coming up across all of Illinois and into southern Wisconsin, temperatures getting to 90 degrees within the last hour at Champaign, and then the upper 80s to about 90 most of the rest of the central and eastern portions of Illinois into western Indiana. This warm weather is not going to last. There's a cold front coming through Iowa at the present time. It's now in east central Iowa. It's got some showers and a few isolated thunder showers with it. I think the showers will essentially run out of gas by the time they get across the Mississippi tonight, but the cooler air behind the front will continue on eastward. There's just not enough moisture, I think, to sustain showers across Illinois tonight and early tomorrow, maybe just a few isolated nocturnal showers in northern Illinois. But that front isn't going to get very far. It's going to stall out across southern Illinois or central Illinois a little later in the weekend, and then there's a much better batch of moisture coming up from the south to overrun this front and contribute to showery weather on Saturday, mostly Saturday night, Sunday, and even into Monday. It doesn't look like it's going to be a total washout, but I think there'll be plenty of cloudiness and plenty of opportunities for showers right from the Saturday through Monday period.
How far north might they march? Are we talking about southern Illinois, Missouri, and parts of Indiana? Or
No, this time we're talking pretty much central and northern because, it's, of course, where that front stalls. It's north of the front where the showers will take place, and the best way to miss them would be if they would stay even further north up and through Wisconsin, but it looks like it's from, I-70 or I-80 corridor at the southern end, northward right up across I-90 into Wisconsin.
Okay, we thank you much. Anything to check in on the global forecast before we let you go?
Yeah, one quick one we might look at just to awake interest in people. It's the coming winter season in the southern hemisphere. It's been cold in many places in the southern hemisphere this past week. We're going to see the first opportunity for frost or freezing temperatures in southern Brazil, northeastern Argentina, and that will get people a little bit alert to potential problems in coffee country in southern Brazil. So look for some colder weather this week. I don't think it'll freeze, but it'll be a wake-up call.
We appreciate it, Pete.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday afternoons. Don't forget to tune in again tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening commodity market report with your director of agricultural programming here at the two radio stations. That's WILL's own Dave Dickey. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.